about.
In order to get to heaven, you need to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior.
Done. I f***ing love him. What else?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hello. Welcome to Colin Pranks with Colin Hanks. I'm your host, Colin Hanks. This is the show where you call in and you prank me. First caller, please.
Hey, Colin, is your refrigerator running?
It is.
Well, then you better go catch it.
You got me. Well done. Next caller.
Hi, I ordered a pizza an hour ago and it still hasn't arrived. You better not charge me.
Lady, this isn't a pizza place. It's me. It's Colin Hanks.
I know. Gotcha.
Oh, man. Good job, lady. Good job. Next caller.
And now.
Which of us hasn't gotten all up in some guy's junk? You know, just for a laugh.
Our feature presentation.
What was that Colin Hanks thing?
Well, that was Colin Hanks. Colin Pranks is what
right.
That was.
But I mean, where was it?
That's the hot new show that's sweeping the nation, Kevin.
That you found on...
It's actually from Comedy Bang Bang. You know how bizarre and out there they are, but Collins, he's awesome. I love him so much.
He's the best, yeah. Although it reminds me of the Kings because I always run into him there, so it's a sad moment. So now
well, you guys are both enjoying a little bit of time off.
Yeah, I'm
a so a lot fewer nights out.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the 21st of May.
Welcome in, everybody. Got a big show playing for you today. Very excited, Kevin, to hear about the David Letterman show last night. I did not see it. But I'm hearing nothing but rave reviews about the final episode. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I'll only say this right now, and that is that it wasn't really a huge, hey, everybody, I've had a fantastic career, and check all this out. It was more just kind of a...
It was low-key.
Yeah, it was low-key. He played some bits that he'd done 25 years ago, you know, working the drive-in at a Taco Bell and stuff. And
oh, I want to see that.
It was really nice.
And I heard the top 10 list was amazing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so that was great.
I can't wait. I know we are... Do that later on. But first, let's get started with this story. We may have to – I'll visit this now, but we may have to save this for a for another day and take some calls on this. I can't believe I'm about to stand up for Nickelback. But at some point, do we give these guys a break?
No.
At some point, do we take our foot off their neck and go, you know what? You're not the worst band that ever lived. Why?
No!
Why is everyone so mean to Nickelback? Look, I don't like them. I don't listen to them.
Yeah.
I think they're boring and unoriginal.
Right.
But who are they hurting if people enjoy their music? Who is Nickelback hurting?
I don't have the answer to that. I don't know. I don't know.
They have been widely seen as the musical public enemy for decades now. Rolling Stone magazine once called them the second worst rock band of the 90s.
We had that Creed?
Behind Creed. Yes. As a matter of fact, behind Creed.
Oh.
Wasn't there a story that we did last year about some sort of petition? Remember they were playing like an NFL event or something like that, and there was a petition that went online that tried to stop them from being part of that kickoff of the season years ago?
Yeah.
And now they're back in the news again because the police department in Queensland, Australia, has put out a be on the lookout alert. Wanted for crimes against music.
Yes.
Police are on the lookout for these men who are believed to be impersonating musicians around Boondall this evening. They were in town nearby playing a concert. Avoid the area. It may be hazardous to your hearing and your street cred.
Wow. Hazardous to your street cred.
This is the police department who's now putting up basically a wanted poster for Nickelback.
Forget Nickelback. What's going on with that police department? That's awesome.
In case you're wondering, there have been interviews, not many, with Nickelback in recent years. They decline almost all interview requests because they know that half of the questions are going to be about everybody hating them. And they still are very popular on the road. They still sell a lot of concert tickets. The lead singer of the band, Chad Kroeger, said all of these critics, they're just tireless. He says they just keep ragging on the band, but they don't know if they had stopped writing all this stuff about us, there'd be no controversy left in the group, and we probably would have died out years ago. They don't know that they're responsible for us still being around today. I don't know if there's any truth to that because I don't know how many people are actually buying a concert ticket to go see the band because somebody else says they suck. But it certainly does kind of keep their name out there, even though they don't have records on the radio anymore. But, I mean, aren't there as boring as they are, Kevin, aren't there a million other bands that you would least rather listen to than Nickelback?
Yeah, I guess. But I think it's the combination of I don't like them, and especially their lyrics, and then a lot of people love them. I think that sort of makes it worse. If everybody was just indifferent, I could be indifferent as well.
In other words, because they're so popular, you feel like you need to weigh it down on the other side.
I mean, sometimes, their song, If Today Was the Last Day. Mm-hmm. Today Was Your Last Day, is that it?
I don't know. I don't know their music very well at all.
It's 1,000 cliches.
Right.
1,000 in a row. That one drives me crazy by itself.
Like they almost did it as a joke, you mean? Like on purpose? Like how could we write a song that's been written so many times before?
Yeah, it was just horrific. We'll have to go through that maybe. But I just other know than when, that, I kind of don't like them. But I agree with you. I don't know where all of the
crazy hate comes from. They're not sacrificing babies on stage.
Have you seen them?
Yeah. We're not
actually going. That's a good point. Yeah. Maybe that's what's happening.
We don't know for sure.
Maybe it is. But anyway, wanted for crimes against music, so good luck. I hope they get out of Australia alive.
I need to work for that police department. That sounds awesome. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
I don't believe you, madam, at all.
Jim Rome on the program today talking sports. Got some big NFL rule changes. Very exciting. We have Adam Carolla with us, Week in Rage. We are going to talk to one of the fighters in UFC 187 this weekend. We talked to Daniel Cormier already this week, and we have Anthony Rumble Johnson on the program today. That's going to be a hell of a fight.
Looking forward to it.
That's going to be amazing. We have a brand new internet roundup, and we have your tickets for U2 at the Roxy this morning as well. That's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatdown. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
You okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
Is that a little weak there?
Why, what happened?
Well, you kind of let that one breathe a little bit more than I expected. I thought we lost you for a second.
All good. Hey, looky, it's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat, and I understand a special prize in the cereal box this morning. What's going on?
Who says looky?
Daddy. Daddy likey looky. Daddy does likey.
Hey, listen, you're up early. That sucks.
Yeah.
If you're listening right now, your life sucks. First of all, you had to get up super early this morning for whatever reason. School, work, what have you. Secondly, you're listening to us. That's double suckage. That's a sucking chest wound of a morning right there.
That's two strikes right there before the day even really gets started.
So I want to give you a little something, give you a little little benefit for being up so early this morning. How about going to the premiere of what looks like an amazing blockbuster movie, a little film called San Andreas. How about that?
Yeah!
It's all happening on the 26th, I want to say, of May at the TCL Chinese Theater. It's going to be a big-time premiere, red carpet dealio, the whole nine yards. The movie's in theaters everywhere on May the 29th, but on May the 26th, they're having the very special premiere. And I'm assuming that means all the stars will be there, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Carla Gugino, who I love.
All right.
Alexandra Daddario.
Okay.
Just a good deal all around. Why don't you make your morning a little bit better and call me right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to attend the premiere of San Andreas. That's a good deal, right?
Yep. Looks good.
It's all over now. The king-sized final episode of The Late Show with David Letterman. If you didn't set your DVR right, you missed an extra 25 minutes. People are cheesed off all over America. Indeed. Dave went out with a lot of laughs. We'll be covering some of the highlights later on in the show. But for those of you who missed it, probably the thing everyone is talking about this morning was the celebrity-filled top 10 list, the final top 10 list, top 10 things I've always wanted to say to Dave. There was a bunch of one of the biggest stars in the world, more or less, showed up to tribute Dave, like Steve Martin, who said, "Your extensive plastic surgery was a necessity and a mistake." Chris Rock, who said, "I'm just glad your show is being given to another white guy." And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who said, "Thanks for letting me take part in another usually disappointing series finale." So they were all there to represent.
Jerry Seinfeld was up there at the time. He's like, "Hey, wait, what?
Your mouth really?" It was awesome.
That's funny.
Foo Fighters, as we said, as was rumored, did stop by. They ended it all with Dave's favorite song, Everlong, and a montage of photos and videos from the past. So, all in all, a sweet send-off to Mr. Letterman. Speaking of television, the ratings for the entire 2014-2015 season are out. And once again, CBS had the most total viewers in America. America's most watched network. That CBS is sweet, isn't it?
It is a good company.
CBS. If CBS was a woman, I'd kiss it right on the mouth. If CBS was a man, I would...
kiss it right on the mouth.
I would kiss it right on the mouth. Interesting. Some interesting facts came out of this season-long tally of ratings.
Usually this list makes us realize how out of touch we are on this show with America.
And I believe it will yet again.
Okay.
For example, most watched new comedy on television. Any guesses?
We'll say The Odd Couple.
That is The Odd Couple.
It is?
I only know that because I read that when we had Matthew Perry on.
That's most watched new comedy on television.
The Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple.
No interest in that.
Have you ever seen one? Do you know anybody who's ever seen one?
No.
I've seen a couple of them.
I watched some of one to talk to Matthew Perry when we had him on, but then
other
I was like,
that,
that's enough.
I
don't know.
I don't even know when it's on. I wouldn't be able to find it on it.
And no guide. Buzz. You never hear about it. You don't never run into anyone who's talking about it.
All right.
This one will be easier. Most watched new drama of the year. Most watched new drama series of the year.
Is that... I'm trying to think what new drama.
Is The Flash a drama?
I think it would be considered a drama, but it's not the answer. It's a good guess, though. Huh. Boy, see that finale,
the
by the way?
The season finale was so awesome.
It was so awesome.
Wow, that was good.
Oh, so good. So good. The Flash is so good.
Most watched new drama.
Yes.
Yes. What are we missing here, Allie? What show are we not thinking
of? The Sopranos.
Yes, Cat. Well,
yes.
No.
What?
When I said you're going to go, oh, yeah. It's going to be one of those oh, yeah moments.
All right. Who, what
you're
is
gonna
it?
You're going to go, oh, of course, yeah. Empire.
Empire.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
The most watched drama was actually NCIS. So not new. But,
all of our parents watch that.
Most watched comedy. No surprise there. Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Top ranked unscripted television show. The Voice on NBC.
Okay.
All right.
And the number one primetime program.
Over everything else.
Overall. For the entire season of 2014-2015.
Scandal. The biggest show on television.
Biggest show on television.
I don't think it's Scandal because I've said it three times. Scandal. Well,
try it again. Try it again. Fourth
Scandal.
Time would be a charm. No!
Oh!
Is it on CBS, Ralph?
No, it's on NBC.
Wow. On NBC?
Yes, and it's kind of a cheat because it's not like a traditional primetime. It is a primetime program, but it's not sort of like a series. It's not a comedy or a drama, if that's a hint
at
all.
Is it like a Dateline NBC?
No,
like it should
it's not
be a
news.
Giant hit,
oh,
but
the
it's
Super Bowl?
Not news. It's not, that's not a series.
Oh, well, you
you're
said
so
it's
adorable.
Not a series. So
I said it's not a drama or a comedy.
Which the Super Bowl is not.
That's
is
true.
It right.
But it still is a series. This would be a series.
Oh, what would it be?
America's Got Talent?
Nope.
Not a drama, not a comedy.
Sunday
NBC.
Night Football.
Ah,
football
of course.
NBC.
Well, yes. Sure. Yes.
We should have gotten all of those.
So
we're bad.
Yeah,
no,
we're
go.
Not good.
Well, you got the Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Got the Odd Couple.
Yes, he did.
Felix up north there on the island got the Odd Couple.
Well, so Weird Al guest starred on it a couple of weeks ago, so it kind of
sweet Lord
had
heaven.
To be on my radar.
Wow,
sure had to be. Today's celebrity birthdays: a politician Al Franken, who of course is now a senator, congressman, president. I don't know what is he.
Senator.
I know he's a senator.
He's a senator from the great state of Minnesota.
But of course, he started off as a writer performer on Saturday Night Live back in the day. Mm-hmm. 64 years old today, Mr. T. I pity the fool, Mr. T.
Love that guy.
When is I Pity the Tool or is going to be on? When's this self-help program going to be on?
I don't remember.
The DIY show.
It must not be on yet, or we'd have seen it in that list of the most watched shows of the year.
That's right. Bruce Buffer, UFC announcer, is 58.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
His catchphrase, I think.
Oh.
Don't say it.
We can't say any of those Buffer catchphrases.
No.
We've been advised that we'll be
sued
if we even say them out loud.
Judge Reinhold, the actress, 58. Lisa Edelstein from House, 49 years old. Firouza Balk celebrates her 41st birthday. And singer Gautier. Remember Gautier?
Sure.
Remember how big Gautier was?
That one song that one time?
That one song mm-hmm. that one time?
Yeah.
Somebody I used to know?
Yep.
He is 35.
Wheel in the no, sky I don't believe.
I don't believe that's the goat.
That is the goat.
I do not believe. Hmm. I think that's...
We're going to have to agree to disagree.
No, I'm pretty sure that is...
I'm standing firm on this one.
That's Rob...
Riggle?
Nope.
Kirkman?
Nope.
Thomas?
Nope. It's Rob, that guy we like so much on Twitter, Rob.
This one I know, Delaney. But I've enjoyed watching Ralph guess. Oh, there you go.
There you go. Gautier's 35 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jim Rome talks sports later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Adam Carolla joins us in your chance at tickets for the Roxy 1 week from tonight to see the biggest band in the world, U2. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Time for the AFR line, 323-520-AFRO. It is a recording machine you can leave a message on anytime about anything.
Stop it, okay? Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Again, we appreciate the call, but without a little bit of direction, we don't know what it is we're supposed to stop. It could be anything.
Yeah, I go through the Rolodex of what we've done in the last week, and it could be any number of things. Adam Sandler. Question mark? Called in.
Hi, fellas. This is Adam Sandler again. I just wanted to ask you, why don't you want to see my movies? I promised you always put a fat person in them, and my glass is super clean. I do. Thank you. Good night.
When he puts it that way, Kevin, it makes you feel bad for not seeing the cobbler, right?
Nope.
Hi, Ray Romano here. Hey, Dave, quit using my voice.
What's happening?
Every time I hear calls like the last two, it makes me appreciate Ralph so much more because he can actually do impressions. This is bound to happen in this city.
Clipper! Sorry, I choked.
Oh. Sorry, Dave, if you heard that.
See, because... And then Dave, of course, did the song.
I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show.
I'm in love with the Choke Show, Choke Show. I'm in love with the Choke Show, Choke Show.
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. As does this.
Hey, Kevin, go quack yourself. Go Ducks.
Look, the Ducks are doing great. They have a great team, and they're having a great playoffs. Go quack yourself. Is that... Do you feel like that really
I think that's
a
thing.
I know, but I'm saying, is it a good thing?
I don't think it bites as...
Nailed him.
It doesn't bite as deep as
I
the
nailed that guy
by
saying quack.
Yeah, I don't think he hurt you.
No, the Kings not being in the playoffs hurts me.
Mm-hmm. Right,
but you're saying quack. So there's that.
Hey, I'm calling for the U2 at the Roxy tickets. I'm hoping I'm caller 22. Kevin said if I called a message, you'd get right back to me. Thanks.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Despite what you heard from Kevin.
Kevin lied.
Good morning, K-Rock team. I had an answer to ask you.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
And mm-hmm. the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it. Stop doing that.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That is a legitimate answer to ask.
There are about 8 things wrong with that, mm-hmm. which is odd. I was able to pack in a lot of wrong. This guy called back, angry guy.
God damn it, Kevin, you hung up on Bono now?
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Kevin.
The world's biggest band in the smallest club they've played in 4 decades.
My favorite part is Allie laughing at
yep.
that. But he did, by the way, I went back and listened very closely because I'm getting a lot of heat for this.
Uh-huh.
He said, thanks, Kevin, thanks, Bean, bye-bye. He didn't even notice. So it's all good. It's all good. Here's what I'm telling you. It's all good.
How could he not have
heard? It's all
the promo blasting down the phone from him before he hung up, though. All we're saying is give it a half a beat. That's all.
And that's I'm all saying it's all good.
Oh, okay. I don't think it's up to you, though, to say that.
Here's Angry Guy.
Kevin, no f***ing common sense. F***ing if I only had a f***ing brain, f***ing scarecrow, f***ing wizard of all, f***ing made in 1943, f***ing writer, f***ing multimillionaire, f***ing moron. I just finished f***ing talking to Duovid. He told me in the future, he hopes you end up living out of a three-story whiskey bottle, drunk-ass f***ing bitch.
Now, I'd like to say that that guy is crazy.
Makes a lot of sense.
It's crazy, but he brought up Duovid, who's a guy that we had on the show for a long time who married a mannequin.
That's right. Who we haven't talked to in at least 10 years,
correct,
right?
Yes. Same guy called back about Weenie Rose.
Hey, f***ing morons. Did you enjoy the f*** out of yourselves at your f***ing concert? Gee, I sure hope you f***ing did. Hopefully that's the last f***ing Weenie Rose concert you ever f***ing attend.
Dude.
F***ing morons. Your comedy ain't worth f***ing idiots.
I like that guy.
I think he's right. I feel like he's making some good points.
This is a troubling thing.
I might be the only one, but I am kind of curious to find out what beer mugs' balls smell like.
Oh! Why would you?
Why
don't?
Why would anyone?
Jesus.
I'm in love with the Clip Show. Clip Show.
Thanks, Muggs. That was helpful.
So, I had a sex dream about Beam last night.
All right.
I'm now extremely drunk and looking to talk to a therapist.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's the same reaction that real life girls have when they have sex with me, by the way, is
here's some
drink
Allie
and therapy.
Here's some Allie love.
Yo, Allie, you want to play a game? All right, you be the Italian restaurant and I'll be the truck. Because I'm about to deliver the sausage.
Boom!
Nailed it. Yeah.
You're in, sir.
The final two calls are a question and an answer.
Hey, when did the Afro line become the Armenian comedian line? Kevin, knock it off, asshole. Hey, Allie.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
What was that? And then the Armenian comedian called.
All right, I believe we don't need to do that.
If you want to leave us a message, 24 hours a day, you can call 323-520-AFRO.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Thursday morning, Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup? Hit it, Steve.
Okay, rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
All the best viral videos of the week in one handy-dandy location at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Dave, nice group this week, I think.
Yeah, very viral, I think, this week.
Let's start with Fox and Friends. I don't watch that show because it's on in the morning, the same time we are, but apparently they have guests on the show, one of whom brought an alligator. They have an alligator visiting Fox and Friends, and the guy from the zoo or whatever is holding the alligator in the air, and the alligator just unleashes a stream of urine, the likes of which I've rarely seen on television. So much pee.
It was a pee tsunami.
It really was. And it's pretty funny to see the broadcasters reacting to it.
So they will get on top of you and push you down.
Well, they'll try and drag you. So these guys, you can see these sharp teeth. I won't put my fingers too close to them, but you can sort of see.
Oh,
she's having a little bit of a bathroom break. That's clearly where he's trying to go. He's trying to run off to the bathroom, and I wasn't letting him go.
You can't really see this, but I don't think that's Gatorade.
No. Maybe the purest form.
It is not Gatorade. No, it is not. It is an alligator peeing on you, sir, is what's happening there. Speaking of animals, here's a crazy video. Dave, can you explain to me? So the guy who's walking through the woods in Sweden in the snow, he has a camera he's filming, but he also has somebody behind him who's filming as well?
Yeah, he was walking his dogs or something like that, and because he's a bear hunter, and a bear actually attacks him.
Yes, a bear jumps out of the woods and comes at him, and he turns and does exactly what they tell you to do, which is to make yourself as big as possible and to scream back at the bear. And I'll be damned if the bear doesn't turn and run away like a little pussy. It's pretty funny.
Genom att göra sig stor och skrika lyckas Ralf göra björnen osäker och få den att ångra sig.
I feel like this is all a huge setup, and I'm going to try that one day. And then they're going to laugh. They're going to go, yep, got that guy.
Well, I do feel like, in general, bear plus human equals bear. Yeah. But in this case, the guy lived to walk another day, I guess. All right, here's everybody's favorite video of the week. I don't know who this guy is, but he's my hero because he is following his girlfriend around the supermarket, and he's pulling items off the shelf and holding them up in front of her. Every time she turns around, he makes a horrible pun about the food that he's holding, and she's just not having any of it.
Emily, what are you doing? Emily, aren't you glad that you're going shopping with me? Emily, cheer up, honey. Emily, do not be getting grumpy at me. Emily, you're going to have to walk faster if you want to catch up.
He's holding ketchup, see?
Ketchup and water and everything.
I challenge you guys to do an interview all in puns.
Nope.
Come on.
No, sir.
Couldn't be more annoying or funnier. Honest trailers are great, and I can't believe it took him this long to get to this movie, but Jupiter Ascending, wasn't that one of the worst movies of last year? You know how they take great movies and make them bad. You can imagine what they do with a film like Jupiter Ascending.
From the directors of The Matrix and Nothing Else Worth Mentioning comes the last time anyone will give the Wachowskis money.
Easiest money we ever made. Cha-ching!
Jupiter Ascending. Look out, Scientology. There's a new ridiculous space opera in town, and it makes even less sense than Battlefield Earth.
If that's possible.
Did you see that one, Kevin?
No.
Wow. Did you, Kevin?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And how bad was it? They give the actual plot. And it is terrible. It's like they're making fun of it.
Yeah, and it's accurate.
Yes,
yeah.
It's very accurate.
And you look at it and you go, wow, I did see that. And they're right about everything they say.
Here's a guy who's written a song about a topic I'd never really thought about, but he has put together a compilation of video of drunk girls trying to walk in Las Vegas, trying to walk on their heels. They're obviously very, very inebriated, trying to keep their dresses on. And he took a bunch of that video and wrote a song about it. It came out pretty well.
Girl, you're looking crazy. You ain't wear them shoes since 2002. Girl, the way your booty going, bing, bong, bing, bong. Got my hair popping like a kindergarten sing song. The president's daughter is my favorite walk you do. All you do is put your hand up like no one should talk to you.
These girls are in real trouble in this video, yeah, by the way.
My favorite is the baby giraffe where it looks like a baby's just being born and the girls are just stumbling around and can't handle themselves. It's so funny. It's by Robert Hoffman, Kevin. You may know him from Step Up 2.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Dave manages to tie any celebrity into the Step Up franchise.
Dude, dance or die, bro.
Yeah.
Two great Game of Thrones videos for you. Of course, every week we present to you the Gay of Thrones. This is the hairdresser who does his own unusual recap of this week's past episode.
Oh, my God. So at the beginning, we had baby Kristen Stewart cleaning up all the dead people. And then Hot St. Francis played a really violent version of Two Truths and a Lie.
My.
Oh, my God. Do you want to play?
Yeah.
I've once gone down face first into a vagina.
Mine.
I should have known when you said gone down face first in the vagina. I've never heard anyone say
like
that.
Like a tripped and fell right into
right,
one
exactly,
girl.
Yeah.
The Gay of Thrones recap sometimes has very little to do with the actual TV show Game of Thrones, I've noticed. All right, what's the deal with this Red Nose Day, this 3-hour primetime show on NBC tonight? What's it all about, Dave?
It's for to raise money for children's charities. All I know it comes from the UK, and everybody's going to be a part of it tonight.
Yeah,
on NBC.
It's a superstar spectacular. And one of the videos that was released ahead of the TV broadcast tonight is Peter Dinklage himself from Game of Thrones performing a musical about his TV show that as I understand, if I'm correct about this, was written by Coldplay, right?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Coldplay, and they're playing on it with him. So here's Peter Dinklage singing.
Still going strong.
He's still going strong.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still going strong.
Remember
couldn't it stock. He was a lot of fun, so but he didn't make it past season one. Robert Baratheon was part of that crew, but he never made it to season two.
If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you definitely have to check that out to see your man Peter Dinklage singing. He's awesome. And finally, on this week's edition of the Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup, this is one of the most frightening videos I've ever seen, because here's a guy who's goading his drunk friend to climb up the side of a building. Now, what somebody has done over this restaurant or something like that is they have a bicycle, the front half of a bicycle that's embedded into the wall. So it's coming out of the wall. This guy on the street is convincing his super drunk friend to climb the wall and get onto the bicycle. And if he does it, he'll buy him a shot. Like, this guy needs another shot.
And about a minute 20 in, things go poorly. And I'd like to just ask Dave, is this the first death that we've put on the Internet Roundup?
It may be. I don't
know. Do you think this guy died? I know that people were speculating in the comments
that he's dead, but
I don't know.
He's not in good shape after this
fall. Let me just say, I don't think he's dead either, because I don't think the person who shot the video would put it up if he were dead.
Yeah,
because he obviously would be liable for goading his friend into climbing up. But this guy gets onto this bicycle that's sticking out of the building, and it just collapses right into the ground, and you never see the dude move again.
Yeah.
I mean, it is terrifying.
I'm videoing this. No, you got to get on it and pedal the pedal.
No.
I will buy you a shot if your ass gets on that seat.
Oh, Dave, if you okay?
Oh,
yeah,
that's how it ends.
He may still be lying on the sidewalk.
Okay. I like that he did that for a shot, for
yes.
One shot.
Yeah, and that's
sweet.
The last thing he needed was another shot. You can see that video, and you should, and all the rest at KRock.com or KevinDeBean.com. This week's brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Round.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
106.7 KRock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. It is 6:57.
Thursday morning, Ralph Garman steps in. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. You know, you say what you want about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's a bad actor?
Well, yeah, you can say that.
Okay.
Sure.
He was a terrible governor?
I said you could say what you want about him.
Oh, we are.
That's what
we're
doing.
He got his maid pregnant?
He got his maid pregnant. He's a horrible actor. He was not a good governor.
Right.
He should be able to speak better English by this point.
Yes.
He should have lost some of that accent.
You would
by
think
now.
When you see him in person, he'd be bigger.
That also would
That's
be
another
the case.
Thing.
He's not a tall man.
No.
His name is difficult to spell.
Absolutely. There's a Schwartz and a Negger. In his name.
That's true.
That both halves are hard to spell.
Right.
But here's the thing about Arnold. He does do good stuff for charity.
Right.
He is he's doing a benefit for the After School All-Stars, which is an organization that helps keep kids safe while mom and dad are both working. So it provides for after school programs, homework assistance, learning a second language, if English is not your first language, tutoring. Schwarzenegger is a big believer in the power of education, and he says spending $1 on at-risk kids will save $5 down the line, which is, he's not alone in that thought. It's been a theory, and it's actually proven to be the case many times. So a lot of the money spent towards after-school programs and keeping kids in school is actually beneficial to all of us. And so he is working tirelessly for this cause. He's already done a fundraiser with a group called Omaze.com. I think he did it last year. Where if you bought a raffle ticket at this website, you could drive Arnold's personal tank over stuff.
That's pretty cool.
That was the contest. You buy a raffle ticket. If you win the raffle, he flies you to Los Angeles, and you get inside his own tank, and you crush stuff with his tank. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Now, how do you top that this year if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Have sex with the maid?
Nope.
Oh.
He does that for free. Oh, if you buy a raffle ticket this time, sex with his maid?
Yeah, you
have
get
you seen
to.
His maid? You
no,
don't
I haven't. Him. Okay, all right.
If you buy a raffle ticket this year, you get to blow things up with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
Kevin.
That's all about me.
I thought you might be interested.
That's so about
you
me.
You may want to go to omaze.com/Arnold and buy a raffle ticket. If you win, Arnold will take you to his personal property, and then you will get some dynamite, and you will start blowing S up.
I am all in.
Here's Arnold telling you more.
Since I made a career of doing sequels, which is basically the same thing as the original, except more awesome. This year, we're gonna blow shit up. Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
He said that.
He said it. He said those words.
Very, very timely.
Boom goes the dynamite. Ah, what's up? Where's the beef?
What other archaic sayings do you work out there, Arnold?
And boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite.
That's indeed awesome.
So the raffle tickets can be purchased for as little as $10 each. And it raises money for a good cause, the After School All-Stars. You can go to Omaze, omaze.com/Arnold, if you'd like to blow S up with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Boom goes the dynamite.
Love it. Awesome.
There are some advantages to being a rock and roll star.
You think?
Some. Some.
Yeah.
It's not all drudgery and hard work, as some would lead you to believe.
I don't think I've ever heard someone say
that. You know how rock stars always say it's a brutal, cruel, difficult life?
I don't know any rock stars that say that, but...
No, I guess they don't.
Yeah, not really, because...
But one of the benefits
pretty cool
is dating women of fourth your age.
Sure,
in some
that
cases. Or, like, an eighth your age, if you're one of the Rolling Stones. Who, by the way, performed last night, apparently, at the Fonda.
They did?
Yes.
For $5.
Yep.
You could get it for $5.
Correct.
That's a good deal.
That is a great deal.
And everybody got in. I think they wanted to, right?
I don't,
everybody yeah, that wanted
that
to
works,
go got
yeah
in.
I don't think so.
Which is pretty cool. It's nice that everyone who was interested got tickets.
I know that Ali spent most of the day trying to track down tickets and was unable to.
How'd you do? Did you get any?
Nope.
I went twice. That's just me. I guess I have better hookups. Yeah. That's all. Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers has a new girlfriend.
Okay.
He just broke up with his previous girlfriend, Helena Vestergaard. She's a model. Anthony Kiedis is 52 years old.
Give us some bells there, Bean. I don't even know her, but I'm sure.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I did a little research. Helena Vestergaard is a good deal.
Right.
Anthony's 52.
Right.
Helena Vestergaard was 20.
Okay.
She wasn't legally able to have a cocktail, but she was legally able to have a Kiedis.
Right.
Apparently. he's got a new girlfriend now, and a girl named Juanes.
Addiction?
What?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Anyone?
Got it.
That was awesome, Allie!
Thank you, Dave.
It's a Jane's Addiction reference.
Oh, right. Juanes Milholm, and she is another model.
Yeah.
22 years old.
Wow, he went older.
He went older. He's, wow. He's dating a more mature model now.
Only 30 years age.
That's
difference.
Right, just 30 years. Indeed, Anthony.
Yeah. Works.
Ralph, if you were single.
Who's to say I'm not?
Well,
your wife.
No, that's for starters. That's a good point.
If you were single,
yes,
would you date a 22-year-old woman?
Date?
Yes.
Mr.
Baxter, I chose that word on purpose.
Define date.
Okay.
I think I can read between those lines on the vernacular of our former great president Bill Clinton, but
yeah,
it all depends on what the word is.
I understand.
Yeah.
Date.
Right.
Date can mean so many things. Could mean dinner in a movie. Could mean let's skip
year long girlfriend. Totally different. Got it. Understood.
Today's celebrity birthday is Al Franken, 64 years old today. Actor Mr. T is 63. Bruce Buffer is 58. Now, Bruce is the UFC announcer, right?
That's right.
Yes.
And his brother?
Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer does
is the
boxing
guy.
Right. So one says, let's get ready to
beep. Yes.
And the other one says, it's beep time, right?
Exactly. That's correct.
Okay. Judge Reinhold's 58 years old today. We're really not allowed to say those phrases, by the way. It's nuts.
They're as hardcore.
They will slap you with a
as
check.
Anyone. Yeah.
He also says we are
the champions?
Not
the
dead.
World?
We are not dead. I don't know if we can say it or not, but that's one of his big things,
that's
too.
That's right. Yeah, we are not dead. Right.
Yeah.
Not dead in parentheses.
Right.
Yeah. Lisa Edelstein, 49 years old today. From House, of course. She played Cuddy on that show.
Live.
My old
Chip.
Co-star. My old
Live.
Co-star from House.
Live, Chip. Live.
Never mind.
She was confused by not dead.
Yeah.
Feruza Balk, very talented and lovely actress, is 41. And singer Gautier celebrates his 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman, and welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Highlights from the finale of David Letterman's Late Show, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on KROQ. And don't forget, next hour, we want to set you up with tickets for U2 at the Roxy around 1 hour from right now. You get your first chance to win for the morning. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Kevin Ryder. Hey, Bean.
Mouseketeer roll call. We're all here.
Hey, Chip. Who's in the neighborhood?
Bean. What's up?
Jesus.
Allie came up with a great idea the other day, Ralph, that you were just talking about off the air. Do you mind if we bring this on the air?
Well, I guess it all started with a tweet, right, Allie? Isn't that something you read?
Yeah, I had tweeted something about Doc Emmerich being such an amazing announcer and nothing beats him in the playoffs. And some guy said, actually, I think Kevin would make the best hockey announcer.
Right, which is...
which
my
I
coffee.
Said...
Our Kevin Ryder?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think I would be a great hockey announcer.
Agreed.
Because you keep a lot of complicated materials straight in your mind and are able to deliver it in an articulate fashion?
Yes, Bean.
Because your skills of talking extemporaneously are beyond the pale?
But you're watching...
Are without comparison?
But you're watching the action, so all you have to sort of do is sort of recap, you know, just sort of tell it as it goes. Who
when
has
you were
the
at the Grammys, you had just to read a list of names.
All right.
And it took you 3 hours, and that was pre-recorded and edited.
A lot of it was, yeah.
You know how fast hockey is?
Yeah, I do. I watch a lot of hockey.
But then what makes you think that you would be good at doing that? I mean, it's one thing to watch it as a fan and follow it on the TV. It's another thing to be the person who's describing that action. I mean, it's a blur.
Not to me.
Look, I know
I
you're
a great hockey announcer.
I know you're a Hall of Famer, Kevin, and I understand that you have skills.
Mad skills.
But at some point, you do have to recognize you're not good at everything.
No, I don't think I am. But I think I'd be a great hockey.
This is like you tell us you'd be a good president.
I think I would also be a great president as well. That's true.
Well, I guess we have to eat our words because that's the reason I came in here. I was flipping around last night watching television, and little did I know, as I was watching the New York Rangers Tampa Bay Lightning game last night, which went went into overtime, just a single overtime last night, but it was all tied up 5-5, and I heard our man Kevin calling the game.
Are you kidding me?
Was it your debut last night? Was that your first game?
It was my first time ever.
Were you not going to say anything to us, Kevin? Was this supposed to be a surprise?
Was I a little stiff? Did you think I was a little stiff, Fred?
Well, I thought maybe that's why you didn't bring it up, because it sounded like maybe you were just sort of getting your feet under you, and maybe you would tell us about it once you had a little more experience. But I was surprised, and I was able to catch just the tail end of the game. I was able to record it, so I wanted to bring in the audio so we could hear. Actually, I'm kind of impressed. Kevin, it turns out, is a pretty good hockey announcer.
Wow. Can't wait.
It's another overtime for hockey, which is in this game now, with the Tampa Bay Titans and the New York Rangers. And it's a very exciting overtime, still another overtime game right now. It's overtime. The score is 5-4. No, it's five. Of course, because that would be tying for overtime. I'm sorry, I had a granola bar in between periods, and now I could use some water. And they're now fighting for the puck. The puck is on the ice, and they're fighting. There are two guys fighting. One guy is the Kukul, Russian guy, Kukulev, and he is Victorian Shuo. He shoots it and it's not going. And now is going. Other guys, the other teams, other team Rangers team is now fighting for the other side of the goal. And they have there's two guys now trying to get that puck. One guy is Dan something, and his friend Dan, number 5. And they go, and now the tampons are going now for the other race down ice, past red line, passes the blue line, and then there's another red line, and then they're trying to shoot for the goal, and then the other guys stop him. Now he's got it back, and now it's in the center of the ice. Going back to the other center, not center, but the middle of the other side of the ice. And there's two new guys. One guy's named Nikita, like Le Femme Nikita, but it's not a girl. He's a number 89. Plays on defense. And is, well, now the Tampon Bay Lightning. What is that word? Lightning. And is going for... going, and he's goal. That's a goal, right? It goes in. It goes in. That went in, and the game's now over because it was a tie, and when it was overtime, and now it's now 3-5. No, 6-5 for Tampons. Winning.
I think you got a future.
Night number two is Ducks Hawks tonight.
So, Kevin, I guess after you called the Lightning game last night, you still managed to make time to watch Late Night with David Letterman's final episode after 33 years.
Yeah, yeah. And here's what I'm going to tell you, and I didn't really realize this until I watched through the entire show. Remember we were talking to Jimmy yesterday, Jimmy Kimmel? Mm-hmm. And he was sort of choked up about it being his final show, and I thought, well, this is really interesting, and I love David Letterman. But, you know, I guess I don't feel that personal connection that Jimmy does because he was crying a lot. And then as I was watching the show, I was like, wow, I get a lot of my sense of humor, a lot of everything I like is pretty much from him. And my daughter walked into the room and David Letterman was jumping on the wall with his Velcro suit.
Oh, I love it.
And my daughter, who had never seen that, didn't know what it was, said, that's something you would do. I was like, okay, well, there you go.
That's to Dave's credit, though.
And then I got sad, yeah. But it all started with a bunch of former presidents saying the same thing.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
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 Our long national nightmare is over. Letterman is retiring.
Dave came back out.
You're just kidding, right?
So that happened. How many people do you know that could get... What was it? Who was the first one? Was it Gerald Ford?
Well, Gerald Ford, obviously, that was the video. Dead, so that, right. that was video. And he's the one who made that saying famous after Watergate. So that's what the other presidents were kind of parroting Mr. Ford.
And for people that don't know the story, when The Tonight Show was Johnny Carson, and then David Letterman was right after him, and David Letterman expected to get The Tonight Show. Huge thing. He moved from NBC to CBS because he didn't get it. That's when Jay Leno got it. This is part of Dave's monologue.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Late Show. I want to tell you one thing. I'll be honest with you. It's beginning to look like I'm not going to get The Tonight Show.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you something else, and I know people are well-meaning, but I am sick and tired. Maybe, Paul, you get a little of this. What are you going to do now that you're retired?
Yeah.
What are you going to do now that you're retired? Well, okay, all right. You want to know what I'm going to do now that I'm retired? Yeah. By God, I hope to become the new face of Scientology.
Bravo.
And then I found it a little weird that there was actually a Scientology commercial during the show.
Was there really?
Yes. I was like, that's a little...
You mean, like, for real?
Yes.
Like, they bought time in that episode? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I guess it's smart if you know it's going to be an episode a lot of people are going to watch.
And we're going to take your calls in a minute of things that you appreciated or moments that you remember from David Letterman. I have a very specific one that I remember from his career, but... He started doing these bits all the time where he would go out and interact with people. In this particular one, he went to a Taco Bell.
I'm going to have to ask you to speak up. I can hardly hear you.
I want two tacos supreme, soft, and one original.
Okay, the taco supremes, we only have them in the hard.
All right, I'll take two hard ones and also... A 99-cent three-cheese melt.
Small pips.
All right, no, slow down, ma'am. I am very, very tired. I am just getting over the worst case of stomach flu I've ever had in my life.
You sound familiar.
I'm the manager, Kenny.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
We'll get your food and you'll be on your way.
Are you Howard Stern?
Dave was great when he would interact with regular people.
Yeah. 1-800-520-1067 if you have some of your favorite memories from David Letterman and his career. He did a top 10 list that was chock full of celebrities, and A-plus list celebrities would come out, and they would do one of the numbers, and then they would back up, and then he would bring out another one. It was an impressive, impressive group of people.
Top 10 things I've always wanted to say to Dave. Number 10, Alec Baldwin.
Of all the talk shows, yours is most geographically convenient to my home.
Number nine, Barbara Walters.
Dave, did you know that you wear the same cologne as Muammar Gaddafi?
Yes, yes, Barbara. I do know that. Number eight, Steve Martin.
Your extensive plastic surgery was a necessity. And a mistake.
Number seven, Jerry Seinfeld.
Dave, I have no idea what I'll do when you go off the air. You know, I just thought of something. I'll be fine.
Number six, Jim Carrey.
Honestly, Dave, I've always found you to be a bit of an overactor.
Number five, Chris Rock.
I'm just glad your show is being given to another white guy.
Number four, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Thanks for letting me take part in another hugely disappointing series finale.
Number three, Peyton Manning.
Dave, you are to comedy what I am to comedy.
Number two, Tina Fey.
Thanks for finally proving men can be funny.
Things I've always wanted to say to Dave. Number one, Bill Murray, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave, I'll never have the money I owe you.
Oh, no.
It's a pretty impressive group. And who is he most impressed with out of that entire group?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. He said, can you guys believe Peyton Manning is here? He's talking to Jerry Seinfeld and Steve Martin.
Well, remember, he's from Indiana.
Oh, I know.
You know, so that's his team. That's his guy. But, yeah, that was pretty funny. That was a funny top 10 list.
I loved
Seinfeld's reaction when Julie Louis-Dreyfus was calling out the disappointing series finale. Jerry's like, hey, wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
All right, let's take one call real quick. Let's get John on the air at 1-800-520-1067. We're throwing open the phones for your favorite David Letterman memory. I don't know anyone who doesn't have one. John, what's yours, please?
Hello, John.
Hey, John.
I hear something, but I don't hear John.
He's not listening to us.
No.
I think John was calling. Thank you for the call. Anyway, I think John was calling to remind us that for a long time, Dave did a monkey cam. Where he put a GoPro, before they were called GoPros, on the head of this monkey and let him run all around the studio. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That's
the thing that I loved about him is it's just he loves, and this is exactly where I get it from, he loves nonsense.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
He's a fan of the absurd.
How do
sure.
you spend time putting a camera on a monkey and just watching it on TV? Like, isn't there something more important you should be doing?
Nope.
The answer is no.
Right. The complete resources of the CBS television
right.
network are available to you, and you have us watching a camera on a monkey. That's what we're going to miss about David Letterman. All right. Flo, you hang on. Gina as well. 1-800-520-1067. We're talking Letterman. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Talk the new NFL rule changes, the Lakers' number two draft pick, and more with sportscaster Jim Rome coming up right off the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 with your David Letterman memories. Boy, he had a lot of – I mean, you start to think about how many crazy things he invented that
yeah.
weren't part of late-night television before he did it. And everybody seems to get a different memory. Let's. Why don't we start with Diane? She's in Pasadena. She's on line one to get us going here.
Hey, Diane.
Hi there. Hi, Kevin and Bean.
Hi. What's your memory?
On 1984, I was in the audience when he did the Alka-Seltzer suit.
Were you really? You were at the show.
I was on the show with my sister and I went to New York, and we tried three times to get tickets. We finally got in, and that was the night. He came out in the scuba gear. And
David
did
Letterman had a suit of Alka-Seltzer and just was lowered into a giant vat of water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just love that so much because why?
It was the funniest thing I'd ever
I agree.
Seen.
That's fantastic.
I agree. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much for the call, Dan. By the way, Kevin or Ali, did you guys ever see the Letterman Show in person?
I never did.
I didn't either, no.
I went, no. Kevin, when we were in New York one year broadcasting for the MTV Awards. Remember when we used to go every year?
Yeah, of course.
I managed to get a ticket and go, and it was so fun. It was so fun to see. And Dave comes out and talks to the audience ahead of time, and he's just so funny and so personable. Let's go to Gina in Hawthorne. Gina is calling about something that a lot of people have been bringing up in this past week or so as we've been preparing for Dave's exit. Hi, Gina. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it. Go
sure.
K-Rock.
Thank you.
So I think for me it was when he came back on the first time after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was. I mean, I still, when I watch it today, I still feel very moved. I think the fact that he was so human and so honest on the air, and to watch him struggle in a way that, that was just so honest allowed, I think, for those of us who weren't in New York and weren't in Washington and weren't in Pennsylvania to have the feels and be okay with it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. And he, I mean, he just was so empathetic and so smart, and he was not afraid to say how confusing and how scary the whole time was, and you really did feel like you were kind of living it through him. It was so impressive.
Right. I mean, it was like he talked about it in such a human manner that it was like it felt like coming home.
And the thing about him, in contrast, is he would never be serious. Mm-hmm. He was never serious about anything. And then all of a sudden this happened and he couldn't help but be serious about it.
No, and it was like he helped us come together as a nation in this sense. Like he talked about of being confused, and it's okay to be confused. Like here's this man, this big name, this man, and he's confused. And if he's confused and struggling, so can we, and it's okay.
Yeah,
fortunately, we're always confused, so that was kind of lost on us. But I get your point, Gina. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Pete, Studio City, Line 6. I don't remember this, but this sounds funny.
Hey, Pete.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, thank you.
You tell us.
One of my favorites was always, and it was multiple times, but any time Richard Simmons made an appearance on the show, it always made Dave so uncomfortable because he had no clue what Richard was going to do or what he was going to try to do. Most of the time, you know, he would end up trying to get a kiss and lean in somehow for the kiss every single time. And Dave, you know, he loved having him on, but he was so scared because he didn't know what Richard was going to do.
He was sort of freaked out by, but also entertained by him. Yes.
Every single time. I loved it.
I used to love, I mean, that's a great example of how Dave really got you excited about some of his regular guests. You know, every time Steve Martin was going to be on, every time Bill Murray was going to be on, every time. Remember when Rip Torn used to come on and run through the audience screaming and throwing confetti? He must have done that 50 times, but it was always funny. You always looked forward to it.
For me, it was Amy Sedaris. Every time she came on, it was this side of David that was so authentic and so... He loved her so much, and you could feel that, and he didn't do that with other people. He genuinely loved her.
You could always tell when he loved a guest, and you could always tell when he didn't.
Yeah.
Yes. He wasn't mean about it, but you could just tell that he's not a fan.
And you'll remember, Kevin, that great example of that is the night he, I assume, was forced to have Paris Hilton on.
Yep.
And remember the utter disdain that he showed for her while he interviewed her as he just lapped her.
Because she said, I don't want to talk about the sex tape. And he said, well, that's where you and I are different, like, because that's all I want to talk about. And it was so uncomfortable.
Brett had a bad connection, so we couldn't keep him on the air. But he said that his favorite show that he remembered was the one that Dave did with the camera rotating like a minute hand on a clock. The cameras were moving throughout the entire show to go through a 360-degree angle on the show, which is just, again, for no reason other than it's silly. And then another show that I was watching YouTube video of this week that I had totally forgotten about is, tell me why he would do this. He dubbed an entire episode with other people playing his voice, Paul's voice, and the voice of all the guests, including Raquel Welch that night. Do you remember that show? Here's a clip from the monologue.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. My name is Dave Letterman. I'm not a comedian, but I play one on TV.
And they did the entire show like that. So people were all over America. People were calling up CBS going, hey, what's wrong with my TV? Who are these people on the air? So funny. And one more thing I want to mention, because I haven't seen much of this week. Do you guys remember Crispin Glover on the Letterman show?
Oh, yeah, kicking him, kicking at his head. Oh.
He was one of the few guests that I think Dave ever kicked off mid-interview. Remember, like, Crispin Glover tried to kick at his head, and Dave's like, let's go to commercial. And then when they came back, Crispin was gone.
Yep.
He just went on with the show.
That was awesome.
There's never going to be another one like him, you guys.
He's not dead.
But no, I know that. I'm just saying he's not on my TV anymore.
But he has retired, unfortunately.
It is 7:53. All right, you guys. Coasting time is over. It's going to get real now. Jim Rome next hour, Adam Carolla, and your tickets for U2 at the Roxy. All coming up between 8 and 9. First, though, Ruff's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Now it's real. You guys are legends.
You guys are talking about David Letterman. I always remember, for some reason, what sticks in my head. It's funny what you remember about stuff. But I like Bean, saw Dave live. I went to see him at the Ed Sullivan Studio in New York. Well, again, one of those trips that we took to New York. Mm-hmm. And he was doing viewer mail, and which I always loved that segment because it was so random and insane. They always made such funny stuff out of it. And someone wrote him a letter saying, Dave, is it me or when I listen to the song Winter Wonderland, the Christmas song, do I hear your name in it?
What?
And Dave's like, you hear my name, Dave, in the song? I don't. I've heard that a million times. I never caught that. Let's take a listen. And they played Winter Wonderland. And it was, I don't know, Bing Crosby version or something. It was like, in the meadow we can build a snowman, David. And just horribly edited. They just dropped it in the middle of the song. And I just remember howling about that for about 15 minutes. And now every Christmas when I hear that goddamn song and I'm in my car driving, I'm singing along. In the meadow we can build a snowman, David. I always do that. And I've been doing it for 20 years. Yeah, so anyway.
He did so much stuff that was so dumb.
Ridiculous. Silly.
But so funny.
Silly.
Talking to Jim Rome next. He actually was on Letterman. He played some tape of it yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, we got to talk about that. That's cool.
David Letterman's ratings for last night, as you can imagine.
Terrible.
Awesome.
Awesome. Right. That's what I meant.
Highest rated Letterman episode in 9 years.
Wow.
A 9.3 rating.
Maybe he should come back.
Maybe he should.
Now that he's popular again.
On par with... Actually, it beat Jay Leno's send-off from The Tonight Show in February. It's about 15 million viewers nationally.
Huge.
It was the highest score since December 2005, where he got a 10.1 share. You know who his guest was that night?
Mm-mm.
Why the ratings were so high?
No. President?
He had a long-standing battle with this person, and they finally came on the show.
Oprah.
It was the Oprah issue edition, yeah. The Oprah episode. So,
Dave, Dave's gone. When does Stephen Colbert begin, Ralph?
I do not know.
September.
Not until the fall,
September-ish,
probably, right?
I think.
Tonight? Tonight, maybe?
I don't think it's tonight.
I was curious what they were going to do with that time slot because I thought it would be kind of weird if they started running Letterman reruns after all of this. So I went to the grid, and they're showing, at least tonight anyway, a rerun of The Mentalist is what's going to be on the 11 o'clock news tonight.
Nothing says late-night TV more than Simon Baker.
Right.
That's weird.
Guessing people's names. I'm getting an M, M-M-B-B. M-B is B-B, M-B-B, M-B. You have an MBA?
I didn't see that show, but I think that's how it went.
It is how it goes. He just guesses about people's stuff. Rolling Stones!
Still alive?
Still alive and still...
Still great,
crushing
Kevin.
It, by the way. Yesterday morning was announced... that they were going to do a show at the Fonda Theater. The Fonda Theater is just slightly larger than my living room. But they let people in for just $5 a pop. It was a warm-up for the Stone Zip Code Stadium Tour. And by all accounts, the band performed all their classic hits, including the entire 1971 album Sticky Fingers, which is just awesome. Their encore included B.B. King's Rock Me Baby, Otis Redding's I Can't Turn You Loose. It was just an amazing show from the lucky folks who were able to be there last night. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
If you do yourself a favor, speaking of great music, check out Miley Cyrus's latest single. She has written a heartfelt song about the death of her pet blowfish, Pablo.
Nope.
Yep. That is a thing. It's Miley wearing unicorn pajamas, sitting at a keyboard, singing about how sad she is that her fish is dead. F you, Miley Cyrus.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
F you so hard.
I have some tape of that if you'd like.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Very upset.
She is upset, yeah. And the Governator, he's back in the news. Arnold Schwarzenegger is doing a charity fundraiser for a benefit, for a charity named After School All Stars. It's an organization that helps at-risk kids stay in school by providing them after-school activities, homework assistance, helping them learn English as a second language, tutoring, whatever it takes to keep kids in school. The former governor's a big believer in education. How is he going to raise that money? Well, you buy a raffle ticket, and if you win the raffle at omaze.com/Arnold, you get to come to his house and blow things up.
I'm in.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Guide to Blowing S Up. He's currently at omaze.com/Arnold if you want to buy. I think it's $10 for a ticket. And if they pull out your lucky ticket, you get to blow stuff up with them. Here's Arnold's pitching it to you.
Since I made a career of doing sequels, which is basically the same thing as the original, except more awesome. But this year, we're gonna blow shit up.
Yeah.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Come on, Arnold.
It's just
hot.
It's hot.
It is
very
hot in every which way you can think of.
It's every
which
way.
It is hot.
It's hot.
It's just hot.
It's true.
Fire is hot.
Celebrity birthdays. Al Franken, senator, but used to be a comedian and a comedy writer for SNL, 64 years old today.
Not at all funny anymore, by the way.
No, he is very serious and grim.
Never see him say a funny thing.
Politics is not for the funny.
Yeah.
Mr. T, 63 years old today. Who looks better at 63 than Mr. T, by the way? Hasn't aged since the A-team.
Nobody.
It's nuts. UFC announcer Bruce Buffer's 58. Judge Reinhold is also 58 today. Lisa Edelstein from House is 49. Farooza Balk, very lovely and talented actress, is 41. And singer Gautier. Of course, he had that smash hit with someone that I used to know a couple years ago. Do we have a little clip of that song?
We do, yeah.
This is no wonder it caught him, America's imagination.
It's beautiful.
He's 35 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:07.
Kevin, how many times have you heard me say all the cool shows are on AM, right?
Well, you actually do say that all the time.
I say that all the time. And in evidence of that is the Jim Rome program, which airs 9 to noon on AM 980 in Southern California, The Beast. And, of course, Jim Rome on Showtime. And he joins us every Thursday about this time here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
Guys, I don't think either one of you have ever said that ever.
No,
either
Bean
public or in private. Come
I
on.
Swear to God, really Bean has because he was born at 75 years old.
I'm jealous that you get to be on AM and I don't. I'm on stupid FM. Hey, Jim, I didn't hear it yesterday. I apologize, but Kevin was listening and heard you talking about your experience being a guest on the David Letterman show. There'll never be a more timely time for us to discuss this. How many times did you guest with Letterman?
You know, I did it twice. I did it twice, and they were both separated by 8 years. And the second time I did it, I kind of got loose, and it's not an easy thing to do when you go on a show like that, and especially with an icon like David Letterman. But for some reason, I kind of settled in. I got loose, and he says to me on the air, "Did I do something to piss you off?" And I'm like, "Oh, Dave, am I in trouble? Am I ever coming back?" So I did do it a couple of years ago for the last time, but it was an awesome, awesome thing to do. I mean, Dave's Dave. We all grew up with him. But it's a little nerve-wracking now. That thing feels like the electric chair because you never know exactly where he's going to do or what he's going to say. And when he asked me if I pissed him off, I thought I was in a lot of trouble.
It's so funny because a lot of people are a little bit afraid of you, Jim, because you're not going to put up with any nonsense. And then you go on Letterman show and you're nervous to sit there.
It's a different sort of thing. I mean, I'm used to being on the other side of it, but when you go there, the stakes are high, and you know, Dave's not putting up with anything,
right,
and
right.
You want him to like you because you like him so much, and the last thing you want to do is have a bad experience on that show. So I'm not going to lie to you, it's a little intimidating, but then once you settle in, it's a pretty good thing. But you never know what you're going to get when you go on a show like that.
Were you a guy who was still watching the Letterman show at night?
Absolutely. I mean, the guy's so different. There's never a lot of the late night guys. I mean, they don't just give those gigs away. You can't get off the airplane at the airport and get one of those things. But to me, he's different than the rest. I mean, we all grew up with him. He's got a different point of view. I think he handles guests beautifully. I mean, the guy is so funny. Who else can make the types of things like elevator races seem cool?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've always watched him. I already miss the guy. And just getting on was an incredible honor.
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's awesome that you had that personal experience to add to one as a fan, too. All right, let's talk about the week in sports. There's been a lot of stuff going on, including, once again, out-of-season NFL action. These rule changes. Would you mind explaining to our listeners what's going to be different as they watch football this season?
I don't know about you guys. I've never said this before. In fact, nobody's ever said this before, but I'm pumped for NFL extra points this fall. What they're doing is they're moving it from the 2-yard line to the 15, meaning it's now a 32-yard kick. Meaning you can no longer bounce to hit the restroom or freshen up your beer. When the kick goes down, you have to watch. It used to be 6 men 7, not anymore. So wait until some kicker bonks one off the uprights, only to cost his team a game. Or the other rule change is, on a 2-point conversion, you can return the ball for 2 points if you can go the length of the field. So I'm looking forward to seeing all these fat guys try to pick up fumbles and make it the length of the field.
That's
all good.
That's crazy to me that you can, because it was a dead ball in the past. If they drop a pass, whatever, it's just no big deal. But now it's a bigger gamble, a much bigger gamble.
Yeah, much bigger gamble. I mean, the thing matters right now. And it, to me, it's good because you can't have the biggest sport in America and have the most boring play in the world with the extra points. So that's one they got right. I'm just kind of thinking about that defensive lineman. You know, the guy goes 340, 345, picks up the ball, thinks he's going to go legend. You know this dude's just going to stroke out around the 50-yard line and say, screw it, it's not worth it. Yeah, for 2 points, I'm going to do that. So I think this is one of the things they actually got right. I mean, guys, extra is normally a good thing, right? Extra cheese,
sure.
Extra credit, extra crispy, extra point. It sucked. It was not a good thing. So the only people who liked them were the 32 guys who were kicking them. This is a positive development.
Wait, I misunderstood. I thought if you returned it, you would get 6 points. You're saying you would just get the two?
No. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah,
no, it's a 2-point conversion. You get two.
I got you.
You get two.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, we talked last week, Jim, about how boring the NBA finals have been because of the, you know, all the hack of whoever's, and the NBA seems to have no incentive to want to change that. Here's football, which is so much more popular than the NBA, kind of being proactive and recognizing a problem in their sport that makes the game boring and doing something about it. I mean, I guess that's why they're number one, is that they're smart like that.
That's part of it. I mean, it was such a waste of time. If you look at it statistically, the extra point was converted 99.5% of the time. And now if you look at the numbers, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to be a crapshoot and it's going to be so much better. But even if it drops down to 90, that's better than 99. And if it does drop down to 90, I just push them back another 10 yards. Just keep pushing it back until they're in midfield.
Until it's 50-50. That's what we're looking
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Fix it. Make it a coin flip.
All right. Moving on. Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Lakers had their worst season ever. Are we already excited about next year? Is this draft pick that they got, number 2 draft pick? Is this going to change things up for them, or we still have a long way to go as a Los Angeles Lakers fan?
Let's not get it twisted. I mean, it's a good thing. Kobe said it best when he said, we played like crap all season long, so it's only right we get that number 2 pick, but it's not going to fix everything. I mean, they're still in the Western Conference. I mean, play this thing out. If they get a quality big man like either Jahlil Okafor or Carl Anthony Towns with that pick, so that's a positive thing. If Kobe comes back and he's Mamba-like, that's a good thing. But on top of that, you need Julius Randle to freak. You've got to get somebody who matters to take their money. If all these things were to come together and were to work out, maybe they make the playoffs. But let's not get this twisted and say, they're back. They're not back. It's a good thing. Better to be them than the Knicks, but they're not back.
All right, the Clippers got knocked out of the playoffs. They have to get a bench, right? Is that their biggest problem?
It's their biggest problem right now. It's not their top priority. Their top priority is getting DeAndre Jordan to re-sign and get that max deal. There was also a report, you guys probably saw this, that he and Chris Paul were beefing, that they're not on the same page, that DeAndre might want to leave. Look, if he's having trouble playing with Chris Paul, he wouldn't be the first, but he better not bounce because of that. Once they get his contract done, they've got to add to the bench. That's their biggest problem. The issue is there's not a whole lot of money to spend, so they're going to have to convince guys to come in and play for the minimum. That's as good as LA is. That's still not an easy sell.
What was your thoughts on Doc Rivers as the coach of the Los Angeles Clippers this year? Does he get any of the blame, or do you think he did the best he could with what he had?
I mean, he's going to get some blame. Some of it has to go on Doc, but you're not going to find a better coach or a better guy for that team than Doc Rivers. I mean, players love to play for Doc. He motivates guys. He's always got this knack of saying the right thing at the right time. But listen, he's not without some responsibility. He's not without some blame. I thought that he called a timeout or two in that series when he shouldn't have. So if you're looking to point the finger at somebody, there's plenty of blame to go around. He deserves some of it, but let's not put it on Doc like it's his fault.
All right, changing topics again. I want to talk about the NHL for just a second. I don't expect other people to like the music that I like or the movies that I like. There's a lot of stuff where I go, okay, I like it, but I can understand how other people don't. If you're a sports fan, how do you not love hockey?
Like, in other words, they're entitled to their own opinion no matter how wrong it is?
Yes.
One of those things?
It is the most exciting sport ever. I'm saying if you're a sports fan, certainly. I mean, maybe you're a baseball fan, no, because that roughly moves at the speed of chess. But any other sports fan, I mean, it's the greatest sport, and it goes into overtime. Both of these series in the conference finals are fantastic right now.
Yeah, I would say that if you don't like hockey, you're just wrong. I mean, if you don't like hockey, you've never been to a game. It's the best spectator sport in the world. I mean, go to any game you want. It's always going to be the best spectator sport. It's just a bad TV sport. It never translates on TV because it moves so quickly and it's hard to follow the puck. You might recall back in the day when like Fox was putting the halo on the puck and they tried to illuminate the puck. You know, the puck looked like it was 30 seats up, right?
It was stupid.
It really was. But the sport's not, and it's a great spectator sport. And I'll say it again, there's nothing like NHL playoff hockey. It's better than the NBA postseason, better than the NFL postseason. It's the best thing there is because every single game, every single shift counts so much. I mean, where else do you get triple OTs and guys heading in the puck for an alleged game winner?
Oh, that was awesome.
That was so wrong. It was so wrong. That literally was one of the coolest things. The greatest soccer moment in history happened in a hockey game.
Yeah.
And they don't count it.
Yeah. I didn't even know that it was illegal until they overruled it.
Neither did the announcers.
Neither did anybody.
Because you've never seen
it. That's against the rules. What, the rule? Unnecessary awesomeness? That's against the rules?
Come on. Rangers Lightning is a great series. Ducks Blackhawks is a great series, and that one's on again tonight. And check it out if you have it. By the way, I disagree with it. It's not a good TV sport. I love watching it on TV.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I'm just saying, for the people who don't really understand it, who haven't given it a shot, like, wow, like I don't know the rules. What's offsides? Yeah. What's a red line? What's a blue line? I mean, I'm not looking for anybody to split the atom here. But for those who don't know it, it's not the easiest thing to follow on TV. Yeah,
but worth it.
All right, Jim Rome, AM 980, The Beast, in about 44 minutes.
You guys were
not
playing today, were you?
That's right. We're shooting fire, Jim.
Bam, bam. No Sanchez, lots of topics. Man, it's a good morning.
Thank you, Jim. Talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, we have tickets to see you two at
yes, we do.
The Roxy.
It's 1 week from tonight. You cannot buy these tickets. You can only win them from the world-famous Kerouac. We are giving you a lot of chances throughout the day, but the first one happens right now. You are going to have to earn them. We got a game you're going to be playing, but call now if you'd love U2, 1-800-520-1067. You'll win them next on K-Rock. Adam Carolla joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Abine Show. Right now, though, we got to take care of some business. Please be with us next Thursday night at the Roxy to see U2 playing the smallest club they played in nearly 40 years. This time around, it's a game that we like to call Blue Twograss.
Well, howdy, partners. If you still haven't found what you're looking for, you come to the right place. Here's your chance to win U2 tickets at the Roxy with a game we like to call Blue Twograss.
Yee-haw! Is this supposed to be a gun?
I'm as scared. So Blue Twograss is exactly what you feared it would be. We're going to be playing bluegrass versions of popular U2 songs that we play here on K-Rock. All you have to do is identify that version of the song by its correct title, and you go into the drawing to win tickets to see U2 at the Roxy. It's pretty simple, right?
Yeah, well, we tried this yesterday, and I think I was wrong 2 out of 3 times. So,
well, let's find out.
Let's start with Jennifer.
No,
I'm sorry, Dennis. Dennis, sorry.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
My bad. Good.
Dennis, do you sometimes go by Jennifer? Was that just a lucky guess on Kevin's part?
Well, they're supposed to be hot, so I guess.
Yeah, true. That's what I've always heard. All right, Dennis, you're contestant number one. Good luck. Listen up. What song by U2 is being played here with bluegrass instruments? Good luck. That is correct, sir. Well done.
Why does that exist? Why do they play that in bluegrass?
I don't know.
What's happening there?
Like, who's the market for that? Like, who buys that and wants that?
I don't. Right? I can't imagine.
All right, Dennis, well done, sir. You are in the drawing. Who's up next?
Next is Matt in Redondo Beach. Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. We're playing Blue Twograss. You ready?
I'm ready.
Name this U2 song.
In the name of love.
I guess we take that, right?
We'll take that. It's called Pride, but in the name of love. Yeah, we know what you're talking about. Thank you, Matt. You are in the drawing. Well done, sir.
Let's go to Robert in Pasadena. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How have you done so far on this quiz?
I got both of them.
All right.
Before.
Okay. Here's your bluegrass song.
Should have given it away right there.
With or without you?
With or without you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Boy, these are terrible.
3 for 3. These are terrible versions.
This is bad music.
All right, let's go to Steve in Torrance. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Blue Twograss.
Oh,
God, I don't know that one. It sounds very familiar.
Yep. You want to take a guess?
If it were me, I would say a U2 title, just as a stab in the dark.
Can't hurt.
All right, it's Mysterious Ways.
Steve is a tremendous fail to get that far and not even have a guess. All right, we got time for one more, I think.
Let's go to Joey in Fullerton. Hi there.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Very well, thank you. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Oh, my goodness. Damn, that was tough.
Yeah, it was.
But you're going to learn from the last contestant and at least have a guess, right?
All that you can't leave behind?
Not correct, but you had a guess. Well
done.
That's
right. This is
fire.
All right. Nice try. Thanks for playing. Not so much for you, but Robert and Matt and Dennis are all in the drawing. Who will be with us next Thursday night at the Roxy to see you too? Allie McKay.
Congratulations, Matt.
Matt is our winner. Way to go, Matt. Way to go, Matt.
Yes.
Congratulations, Matt.
Awesome.
Sorry to wake you.
We'll see you next Thursday.
That blue too grass, and it's sure blue.
Kevin and Bean are a great radio team because they have a combination. I mean, Bean, veteran broadcaster. Kevin, funny, everyman, fire and ice, coming together to create lukewarm water. Okay, that doesn't sound great.
No, it's perfect. It's just about right, Adam. Lukewarm water is what you get when you tune into the Kevin Bean Show.
Put fire and ice together. You do kind of get tap water.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. That is a clip
off
from...
in my head, it was so strong, and then just kind of lost momentum, you know?
Sure. That is a clip from the Hall of Fame induction video from our time in Las Vegas last week when we received that dumb award. And we do finally have a copy of that, and it is posted at krock.com if you want to see. The video is very funny because Adam contributed, and our friend Chris Hardwick is in there, and Mike and Dr. Drew are in there, and Jimmy Kimmel, a whole bunch of other people. But definitely check it out if you're interested. And then you can also see our acceptance speeches where we sort of cry a little bit. But anyway, that's up at krock.com if you want to check it out. Our friend Adam Carolla is on the phone with us once a week. This time around, before we get to This Week in Rage, I want to remind you that Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman is finally available tomorrow. You can order it through adamcarolla.com. It's available on all digital and VOD platforms. Now, Adam, I'm going to watch it this weekend, but you personally interview Robert Redford and Tom Cruise and Michael Andretti and all these guys for the video?
Yes, Tom Cruise archival footage of racing and interviews and stuff like that. Everyone else interviewed in real time.
Fantastic.
Bean, you are going to love this movie.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I mean, look, I'm like so many other people. I've admired Paul Newman my whole life as a humanitarian, as an actor, and I know that his number one passion in life was racing. And you pointed out to me one time that he raced until the day he died at 82 years old. Like, this was a lifelong passion of his. I can't wait to see the movie.
Well, you shall enjoy it, and anyone who watches this movie and doesn't love it, I will refund every penny they paid for it.
Sweet.
Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, adamcarolla.com for all the details. Hey, it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week in Rage.
Well, start with three, work my way on to number one. First, three, not a week in rage, but a recalling an old Kevin and Bean story and tying it back to Letterman's last show. First time I did Letterman. You remember that? I called you guys from the airplane on the ride home.
That's right. We talked to you on the plane, yes.
I don't know what it was, but it was the time difference or something. It must have been 1998, maybe 1999. I'd done Letterman for the first time. It was insane. I think it drove Jimmy insane because I did it before he did it. And he did it 128 times before I did it again. So he kind of evened it out a little bit. But I was flying home from New York. I mean, it seemed like 10 minutes earlier I was picking up garbage on a construction site.
Yep.
And I'd just done Letterman, and I called you guys back then from the phone in the back of the airplane.
Yep, I totally remember that, Adam.
And in the middle of our conversation, we started hitting some turbulence, and they put the flash the seatbelt placard. And the stewardess, as we used to call them back then... came back and said, please take your seat. It's unsafe for you to be standing. And I said, well, I'm on the middle of a radio show right now. And she said, you got to take your seat. It's not safe for you to be standing. And I said, you're standing. Which is, you kind of have to really do that standing math. And by the way, you're standing and you're in high heels and you're 51 years old. I played high school football. If anyone should be standing, it should be me. We never quite do the standing math.
That's funny.
It's not like these chicks ride unicycles or win those logging competitions where they stand on the rolling log in the river and roll the other person off it or anything. Why are they better at standing than us?
Well, I think they've practiced. I'm sure they're trained in standing.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I think I'm pretty darn good at standing. I'm standing right now.
All right.
I've only fallen over twice today. All right. Remember that.
I do.
That is one of those memories. Number two, I finally figured something out. I've completed the trilogy, everybody. This is a very happy day for me. I always figured, I knew guys when I grew up, they lived in like Van Nuys or some crappy neighborhood. And I knew a guy and I said, where do you live? He said, I live on a dead-end street. And later on, I got a little bit older and I met some Jewish kids who lived up in what we affectionately call Hebrew Heights. And I said, what do you do? And they go, well, we live on a cul-de-sac. And I said, a cul-de-sac? And then I realized, a dead end and a cul-de-sac are basically the same place. It's just when a neighborhood sucks, it's called a dead end.
Right.
And when it's a nice neighborhood, it's called a cul-de-sac. And I've always wanted to complete the trilogy, and I've realized this is it. I now have it worked out. And in terms of where you want your kids to go in life, here's the order.
Okay.
You start off in the dead end.
Right.
You end off in the cul-de-sac. And in between, you live on not a through street.
Oh, nice. Nice option.
That's the middle. So when you're at the dead end, you should be scratching and clawing to get to not a through street. Mm-hmm. And when you're on not a through street, your work is not done. You cannot retire until you get to cul-de-sac.
See, like it doesn't seem like it would make a difference, but it really does. It matters what you call things.
It matters. And number one, I don't want to go too philosophical on your asses, but you guys have been hearing these reports that religion is dying off and people are less religious than they ever were. And
yeah.
Catholicism down, Christianity down, it's all down. And you'd think that would be good news to a guy like me who's an atheist. Hey, more people joining my party.
Right.
This is a disaster, people.
Why?
Because look at it. Look what's going on. Religion is going down. I'll tell you what's going up. Bare feet on tray tables on an airplane. Dogs sitting on tables at Starbucks. Stupid music being blasted through your iPhones instead of the earbuds while you're hiking through Runyon Canyon. It's not, God may be dead. Now I'm alive, baby. It's the religion is me. There is no God. There's only me. This is. You see what's going on?
No. Oh, I see. So people are turning inward. They're worshiping themselves. All they care about is themselves.
Jesus is out. Me and my fake service dog and my bare feet at the airport are in.
Okay.
I'm looking after myself. I'm just saying, people, start finding Jesus Christ. All these a-holes we see wandering around with their feet everywhere and their dogs everywhere, playing their music everywhere. You think these are born-again Christians?
No, because they wear shoes.
Yeah, they wear shoes.
Okay.
You think they're the Hasidim?
What's
happening? These aren't religious people. These are a-hole atheists, or at least agnostics.
So don't be like Adam.
Don't be like me.
Right.
Right.
Find Jesus Christ, or rediscover Jesus Christ, or be born again, and put some goddamn shoes on.
Okay, there you go. That's the, now he's putting it whole. That's a great tip for our listeners today.
God took his dog, Jinky. Yeah, little known fact. Did he take him everywhere?
Wait, was Jinky named in the Bible, or did you find that out from some other source?
No, I know that. I knew guys.
Yeah,
okay, you knew guys. All right, yeah, Jinky.
I knew some Romans. He had a dog. It's a little-known fact.
I'm not sure that's true.
Look it up.
All
hand
right.
to God. Hand to Jinky.
That is a great advice from our friend Adam Carolla. And you want to go immediately to adamcarolla.com for an update on the podcast and the new book that's coming out at the end of the month. And most importantly, Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman available digitally tomorrow. It's already been in theaters. That's tomorrow. Go to adamcarolla.com. You're the best, dude. Thanks for coming on. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
We're going to talk UFC 187 on tap for this weekend in Las Vegas with Anthony Rumble Johnson, who I think is favored to be the light heavyweight champion after the fight on Saturday night. We'll see what he has to say about that. I think he'd probably agree. That's coming up just after 9. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah, they always told you don't drink coffee. Coffee will kill you. Coffee's the death. Coffee is black death.
Yes.
Coffee. Don't drink it.
Uh-huh. Bad for you.
Green tea. Get green tea. Right. Coffee blows. It'll ruin you.
Right.
It'll eat your insides out. Don't drink coffee. Ever. Don't drink coffee. Don't do it. Don't drink coffee.
Right.
Today they said drink coffee.
They changed that now?
Drink all the coffee you can. Find all the coffee and drink it all right now.
It's good for you?
It's the best thing for you ever that has ever been made is coffee. Better than penicillin.
What?
Better than sunshine. Just every orifice, fill it with coffee, they said this morning.
That does not sound good.
Five. Where are they on
bags
smoking,
and
Ralph?
Bags
are they,
of coffee just injected dead? In your rectum?
Nope.
In your, in your ears?
Nobody
nose,
is saying that.
Snort
that?
It. Grind up beans and snort the beans.
No one said that.
Pack as much coffee into your colon as you possibly can.
Hmm.
Was this in the news?
I'm not kidding you. This is today, okay? Research says that coffee can protect against the following. Excuse me. Type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
Help prevent Parkinson's. Lower the risk of liver, colon, and intrametrial cancers. Helps prevent liver cancer. Good for the heart. Lowers the risk of stroke. Lowers the occurrence of prostate cancer. Protects your eyes against blindness.
What?
Helps defeat tinnitus and depression. Drinking up to 5 cups of coffee a day will prevent arteriosclerosis. Coffee will lower your risk for Alzheimer's disease. The number one source of antioxidants in our diet is coffee, says the University of Scranton. It's the bee's knees, says the University of Delaware.
No one said that.
No, no one said that.
Huh.
I win.
Do you drink a lot of coffee?
I've been drinking about a pot a day since I started this job, and I said it's going to get me. The freaking coffee's going to get me. Now, I'm the healthiest guy in the room.
Now you win.
Suck it, Bean. Woo! Coffee, coffee, coffee.
Are there no side effects that are negative now? How does that all change in one day?
You should F coffee, they say now. You should have sex with it.
I'd like to see your research.
University of Texas. One. But they're drunk.
Who funded that study?
Let me see. The Coffee Growers of America. Let me
think.
No, I don't know.
Open up a blog.
Researchers have identified more than 1,000 antioxidants in coffee.
All right.
We're good.
Good news. Kevin, you don't drink coffee at all, right?
There's
period.
There's a little coffee update.
I do when I'm desperate.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine.
Oh, just
God bless you. Thank you for bringing this hot cup of health. Oh, that is good health right there.
Science.
I look better already.
Oh, look at me. I'm getting bigger and stronger.
You're not getting bigger and stronger. You're just sitting up
look
in your chair.
Big and strong
you're
I'm
not
getting.
You're just flexing.
Oh, I'm getting taller.
That's just not the case.
I have to
you're
raise my microphone up because
you
I am so tall and strong
up.
Now.
It doesn't work that
because
fast.
Because of coffee.
Ralph, if you look any younger, you're going to start getting carded.
That's what I'm talking about. I could not be more attractive. And look at me. The blush of health.
That's true.
Thanks to coffee. Coffee. If there's any coffee sponsors out there, would like to take advantage of my enthusiasm. Ralph at krock.com. All right, let's talk about show business. Gwen Stefani said she had one of the greatest show business experiences of her life this week. She met one of her all-time show business heroes. According to Us Weekly magazine, she got to work with, any guesses who she got to work with this week?
Well, Madonna comes to mind.
No.
Bigger.
First.
Bigger than Madonna?
Yes. Bigger for Gwen than Madonna.
Cher.
Nope. All good guesses.
Male or female?
Male.
Male.
Oh. Tony
Prince.
Bennett.
Nope. Elmo.
Elmo.
Worked with Elmo this week. She filmed Sesame Street with Elmo, and she said, and I quote, "It was an out-of-body experience."
That's not sexy. That's animal.
That's right. That's not.
Nope.
How about that?
She said Elmo.
Elmo. She said she also got good advice when she left the house to go work with Elmo over on Sesame Street. 8-year-old son Kingston and 6-year-old Zuma told her to break a leg. smart kids. Showbiz kids right there. They know what to say. You don't say good luck to mom. Next thing you know, something falls out. You gotta say break a leg. I don't even know what that means.
You made more sense before you were on too much coffee.
Did you know that celebrity fragrances are no longer a thing?
What?
Sales are plummeting for all celebrity fragrances. Even Bieber's, I mean, the biggest names in the business who have fragrances, they cannot move them off the shelves. For some reason, people have stopped purchasing celebrity fragrances.
Weren't they making, maybe last year, $80 to $100 million?
Yes. And it, wow. The bottom has dropped out of the celebrity fragrance market. Fascinating story this week.
That's weird.
In Business Week, I think it may have been, saying they just, they, sales have plummeted. No one is seems to be interested in celebrity fragrances anymore.
Huh. Why?
So now they don't say why.
Huh.
I would speculate maybe fragrance use in general may be down. People don't seem to wear as much as they used to.
Could be.
But it's for people to stop buying celebrity fragrances on the whole. I have no explanation for that. But I know it's a big. It was a big source of income for a lot of stars.
Yeah.
I think they said when Elizabeth Taylor died that she had whatever fortune she had was amassed from her perfume collection.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now a lot of celebrities are branching out into other venues trying to make money.
I'm coming out with my own coffee.
Are you really?
Yeah, from what I just heard.
Ryder Coffee. Drew Barrymore has announced her sunglass line. Because when you think of protecting your eyes, you think of Drew Barrymore.
I don't really.
I don't either. It's available only through Walmart.
Okay.
36 different sunglasses that she has had a hand in designing.
Sure.
Each of the sunglasses is named after a character she's played in a movie. I want to throw up all over this story. Well, thank God Drew Barrymore is bringing us some way to keep the sun from reaching our eyes. If only someone else had come up with that idea.
She's a genius.
Remember those two guys, Ray and Ben? Remember those guys? Why didn't they ever make some sunglasses? Drew Barrymore, go away. Go away.
Oh, don't say that about Drew Barrymore. I like working with her. Doobie-doo.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Al Franken is 64 years old today. Have I told you about the virtues of coffee?
You have, yeah.
Mr. T is 63. Bruce Buffer is 58. Judge Reinhold also 58 today. Lisa Edelstein. Stein? From House. My old co-star from House. Remember we were on House together?
You think you'd know her name? She was your co-star.
Well, I just called her Lily. She's 49 today. Firuza Balk is 41. And singer Gautier, of course, had the smash hit Someone I Used to Know, 35 years old today. Do we have a little piece of that song for people in case they don't remember?
I don't have it up. Do you have that, Bean?
No.
All right.
Well done.
Good session, everybody. Yeah. I'm going to go have a cup of Joe. I'll see you later. I'm Ralph Garman.
It's official.
All right. I'll finish that later.
America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice
end of
company is now able to deliver the
whenever you
best
get a chance.
Wait, did I start that too early?
What? I have a signature way I sort of get out of that segment before we go into
you
commercials.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Well,
you
should
I know
tell
you're
me.
New. I'm sorry. I should have given you a heads up. Usually I say, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. That's how I usually get out of that.
And then I...
then you would play whatever commercial we have upcoming. And please, pay attention to these fine sponsors. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz big.
Congratulations to Tom Butler from Santa Clarita for winning tickets to see you two at the Roxy. It's going to be a great show.
Lucky bastard.
Giving away tickets every hour from 9 to 9 here on the world-famous K-Rock.
We got a 30 seconds or so before our next guest joins us, Anthony Rumble Johnson, talking UFC 187. And I think this would be a good opportunity to say, since a lot of people are listening right now who tune in for the U2 giveaway, we don't really have – it's a small venue, the Roxy. How many people, Kevin, are going to be into the see that show? Fewer than 500,
yeah,
right?
I think right at 500 maybe.
Yeah. So it's not like there are a million tickets. So no matter how much you love U2 or no matter how much you're in a U2 cover band or no matter how much it's your grandparents' dying wish that you see U2, that's not kind of really how we're giving away the tickets. What we came up with, we thought, was a way to kind of be fair to everybody, which is to give them away on the radio where you just call in and win. And we're doing it a bunch. We're doing it every single hour from 9A to 9P.
So people can just tweet you and ask?
No, that's the opposite of what I'm saying.
What
I'm saying is we don't have a category of, but you guys don't understand how much I love you two. You should just give me tickets. That's not how this one works.
But if you feel that way, email bean@krock.com because he will take all people's – what?
Again, that's not the point. I'm not trying to be mean at all. I'm just saying literally we tried to come up with a way that was as fair as possible. And we do games in the morning on our show, for instance, where we're looking for U2 fans, like the music game we played today, where it really helps a lot if you're a fan. You get through, you get a chance to win. But for the rest of the tickets throughout the day, 9 a, 10 a, 11 a, noon, all the way through till 9 o'clock at night, you just call at the top of the hour when you hear to call in. And I think that's that makes a lot of sense because it's fair for everybody.
Or email bean@krock.com because he's got a lot. He carries them on his body.
More tickets coming up at 10 o'clock. All right, Dave Sanchez, King of Mexico. What's going on with our guest here, please, sir?
He will join us in about a minute. They're wrapping his other interview.
Fantastic. Kevin, your thoughts on Rumble? You've probably seen a lot of his fights over the years.
I have. He scares me.
You wouldn't want to be Daniel Cormier right now?
No, but I also wouldn't want to be him. So I don't know how to feel about this one. He's on a roll. Anthony Johnson is on a roll.
Yeah, he was ready to fight nine fights in a row or something like that. Most of them in the first round.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a reason why he was the guy scheduled to fight for the belt against John Jones. And he's still going to be fighting for the belt, but now against Daniel Cormier. We'll ask him again about that here in a minute. You know what was remarkable? We had president of the UFC, Dana White, was in here yesterday. And he said the incredible thing about Rumble is all the weights that he has competed against.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to fight as a heavyweight, fight as a middleweight, fight as a welterweight, and now to fight as a light
heavyweight
fighter. Yeah. I mean, the discipline you have to have to be able to fight at all those different weights and not just get to that weight, but be able to perform at that level at that weight. It's just a miracle.
Can we talk to him?
Yes.
Because I feel like you've been filibustering and he's on the line.
I would love that so much. I want to give the man a proper introduction. I'm just saying, show some respect. Rumble, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, man. How about you?
Very good.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Very exciting. I mean, I'm already nervous and excited about Saturday night, and I'm just watching it on this side of the TV. Where are you at in your head right now?
I'm just chilling. That's it. I'm relaxed, man. I'm not, like, letting all the hype get to me and just staying calm, cool, and just, you know, sitting back and just relaxing right now, but I'm still focused.
Have you always been a relaxed type of guy, or did you have to learn to ignore all those nerves?
I had to learn. Once I got cut from the UFC, the first time I was in the UFC and going through what I went through, I just had to, like, calm myself down and you know, get back into reality of things and just be calm and cool and just stay patient no matter what.
You know, we're lucky enough with this job, Rumble, to talk to a lot of UFC fighters. And the longer we do it, the longer we conduct these interviews, the more I'm convinced that it's about a half mental game and a half physical game. I mean, leading up to the fight, pacing yourself, when you actually get into the octagon, being a smart fighter, it seems like there's so much brains involved in what you do, too.
It is. I mean, you definitely can't go in there and try and be a wild man and just, you know, not try and plan things out or think about it, because then that's when you get hurt. You know, then that's when you can get knocked out or something. So being in this game, you definitely have to be somewhat of a smart person.
Now, you've worked for a long time to get your shot at and to prepare for John Jones. How did the switch up happen? I mean, obviously you heard that the belt was vacated, and then how did you find out that that was the case and that you were fighting Cormier?
I found out my manager called me, and he told me, he's like, hey, you're fighting Daniel Cormier. They stripped John of the title. He said, don't tell anybody.
Okay.
So with him saying that, you know, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to release the information or whatever, the news out the next day or a day or two from now.
Right.
They put it on the media 10 minutes later after he told me. So I was like, what's the point of telling me? Don't tell anybody. Whenever 10 minutes later, it's all over the internet.
He just didn't want you to say it.
I guess, you know, but it really didn't bother me that I had a new opponent. You know, Daniel Cormier is a worthy opponent for sure. He's a tough guy. He's one of the best in the world. I have nothing but respect for him, and I expect nothing but the best Cormier, you know, we've ever seen.
Is it difficult to change the mindset from John Jones to Cormier?
No.
Not at all.
Nope, it's a title fight. The mindset is still the same, seek and destroy.
That's just terrifying to hear you say you could destroy. That's terrifying.
I'm so glad I'm not a fighter.
We had DC in here with us a couple of days ago, and he, you know, obviously was sad for the sport, sad to see what John Jones is going for, really sad for the people involved in that accident. But he was like, you know, I just got to look at this as an opportunity. And when I started looking around to think who else Anthony could fight, he's beaten everybody else. I mean, Cormier, isn't he about the only guy that you haven't beaten?
I mean, we got anybody in the top five. Yeah, he's the only guy that I haven't fought besides, you know, John. You know, and like I said, he's a worthy opponent. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
What weight are you walking around at today?
I'm 215.
And what do you have to get down to, 205?
205, yeah.
And is that easy for you?
Oh, yeah. It's simple. Really, really simple.
A lot of girls right now are freaking out hearing you talk about how easy it is to lose 10 pounds overnight. 10 pounds.
It's nothing.
Yeah, man, it's all about dieting. These people don't get that. They think they go to the gym once a week and they're supposed to lose weight. And they think that just because they go to the gym that they don't have to diet right. But it all works together. It's not just, you know, dieting and nothing else involved. You got to do all of it.
Right, right. It's so crazy to hear how relaxed you sound. I mean, I know we said that when you came on, but, I mean, look, it's working for you, man. It's going to be so fun being in Las Vegas this weekend for Memorial Day weekend. The fight airs on pay-per-view starting at 7 o'clock. There are still some tickets available through Ticketmaster.com and the MGM Grand Box Office. What kind of fan support do you usually get when you fight, Anthony? Do you have a lot of people against you, a lot of people for you? Is it usually 50-50? What's your read?
Most people are for me. I think the only time I've ever had, you know, somebody against me was whenever I was fighting Gustafson.
Yeah, because you're in Stockholm.
You did all right.
Yeah, his whole country was against me, basically. Yeah. But after I beat him, they flipped the script on me, and then they were like, hey, good job, you know.
Hey, that guy's pretty good.
You beat our guy. We hope you win the title. You know, that's what I expected. That's how the game is. You know what I mean? People will go against you, and the next second you do something good, they're rooting for you instead of against you.
Gustafson fought John Jones for 5 rounds, so I think it was pretty shocking how quickly you ended it. Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, like I said, I didn't expect him to beat him that fast. He took some punishment. He stayed in there, but he was there, but he wasn't there.
Yeah. I wanted to ask one other question. That is, there's nothing you can do to work on your chin and being tough that way, right? Is it just DNA, or can you actually work on absorbing punches?
You know what? You got to be able to take them just as good as you can give them.
Right, but I'm saying, can you practice that in any way?
I have no idea. I don't really try and get hit.
Okay, you know what I mean? All right. That makes sense.
I try to stick and move.
Sure, all right.
I try to hit people and not get hit, but, you know, it comes with the territory. I do get hit, you know, but I take it like a champ and keep coming forward.
Well, you certainly do. That is an understatement. You are a champion, and we can't wait to find out what happens. UFC 187 is going to be this Saturday night. Again, I said see it in person or get it on pay-per-view, but don't miss it. Preliminaries air starting at 5 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Have a great fight. Really enjoyed catching up with you, man. Let's do it again. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your time. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
Goddamn Bean.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah,
I can tell you.
He's not a coffee drinker.
This picture that you posted, Ralph, of you with a cup of health.
A hot mug of health.
You look 20 years younger, man, since you've been drinking all this coffee.
It's the coffee.
It's a miracle cure. Why isn't Nestle's on the phone offering you some sort of big endorsement deal right now? That's what I want to know.
Vasco da Gama was searching for.
Exactly. Good reference.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, that's not him. Yeah. Who's the guy?
Ponce de Leon.
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about now.
It's the guy who was looking for the Fountain of Youth in Florida, right. Kevin.
And he was looking for coffee.
That turns out that's what he was looking for, because coffee is the Fountain of Youth. It's a hot mug of health.
I think a new campaign has just been born.
I think so,
How about one more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday?
All right, if you insist. How about that David Letterman, huh?
How about him?
Good for you, Dave. Going out on top. The numbers are in. Ratings for last night's Late Show with David Letterman averaged a big 9.3 household rating with a 24 share. What does that mean to you, the consumer? Well, it translates into about 15 million viewers.
Which is huge.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
For late night, especially. That those numbers are almost unparalleled. Leno's send-off, for example, from The Tonight Show in February of 2014, it beat that.
Wait, Leno's not doing The Tonight Show anymore?
No, he's no longer on there.
What?
They have a guy, a karaoke host now, who does it every night. I think they replaced it with a karaoke show. I just see this guy singing songs all the time. I'm not sure who the host is. The last time Dave scored numbers this big was back in 2005, 9 years ago. That's when Oprah Winfrey stopped by the show. Remember they were having like a big feud? It all started with Oprah. Remember from the Oscars?
Sure.
And then they were sort of on the outs, and Dave kept begging her to come on the show, and he was going to make it nice, and then she did show up, and they did make it nice, and now they're pals. Oprah,
I'm so fat.
Oprah.
Right. Now, I want to ask you guys this, because there was a lot of speculation as we were leading up to the final days of the Letterman Late Show that Jay Leno might make an appearance, that they may figure out some way to work him into the guest list.
Yeah.
I was glad that they didn't.
I don't think that was ever a real danger.
Yeah, I don't.
In fact, one of our
they don't like each other,
listeners.
Do they?
No, they don't. Uh-uh. One of our listeners sent me an email like, I wish I'd brought this up yesterday.
Phil,
yeah, sent an email saying he ran into Leno driving. And said to him, are you going to watch Dave's last show? And Leno said, no, I don't think so. He said, he added.
He sure was wearing a denim shirt and driving an antique car, though.
Sure was.
He's doing those things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there were some people who wanted to see that, you know, some sort of resolution on that. Or...
Nope. No people.
I mean, it probably would have been entertaining, but I would have rather it had just been about Dave.
Why would that be entertaining? It would be awkward and uncomfortable for everyone.
Because Dave's great at awkward and uncomfortable. That's why.
Yeah, but not on his farewell show. You want it just to be a love letter. You want nothing but nice and friendship.
I agree. I was glad that it worked out the way it did.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you wanted him to be there.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
Yeah. Come on, Bean. Be nice for once. You're so mean, Dave.
Why do you hate Dave?
Want Jay Leno to show up. Punch him. That's not right, Bean.
That's not. I didn't.
That's not, you said that. You said you wanted him to punch.
I heard
him to punch Letterman.
I don't understand.
Robert Pattinson may become a father. The Twilight star is dating, of course, FKA Twigs. And she apparently drank only juice and water at Coachella Music Festival. And has been spotted leaving a gynecological medical facility last month. So people are already speculating that maybe she is carrying the vampire's baby. Which I think grows in like a week or something to full term. And then becomes then it sparkles in the sun. I forget how it works.
I don't think he's an actual vampire.
Okay, Kevin. Right. How else do you explain the fact that he's a movie star?
Well.
If it's not supernatural.
That's a good question.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Another inexplicable movie star, Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the news. He is blowing things up for a good cause.
I like it.
Last year, he invited a winner of a raffle to come to his house and run stuff over with his tank. Raised a lot of money for charity. This year, it's another benefit for the After School All-Stars organization that helps at-risk kids stay safe at school while mom and dad are working. It's after-school programs, homework assistance, English as a second language, tutoring. This time he's raising money by inviting you to come to his house and blow stuff up with dynamite.
I'm in.
First tanks, now explosions. You can go to omaze.com, omaze.com/Arnold if you want to purchase a ticket. I believe it's for about $10. You can purchase as many as you like. This Omaze, they do a lot of this kind of stuff. This is what the organization that J.J. Abrams worked with when he was raffling off a cameo in Star Wars.
That's right. They
do a lot of great things for a lot of great charities. Here is Schwarzenegger pitching his idea to you.
Since I made a career of doing sequels, which is basically the same thing as the original, except more awesome, but this year, we're going to blow shit up.
Yeah.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Nah, boom goes the dynamite. I said it. That's a saying that other people have used.
From 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
look, I know he's corny, but I enjoy the fact that he doesn't take himself seriously and that he's just having fun. I enjoy that about Arnold.
Like, he has a choice. Yeah, what other way can he take himself?
I guess.
It's too late now.
I mean, he kind of put that aside for most of the time he was in politics, I think. He played it straight, for the most part, as governor.
Schwarzenegger says the winner will also enjoy a homemade dinner from Arnold. Spaghetti dinner Arnold will make for you. Pasta la vista, baby.
Come on. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
I think Ralph's the only person on the show that can avoid the file
right?
with puns because he nails it so good. Not always.
Not always, indeed.
Sometimes.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
I think it's the coffee, Ralph.
It's the coffee. It's a hot mug of health. You don't understand, people. Drink more coffee.
You would have stuck that landing if you hadn't had all that coffee this morning.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, again, just to recap, I think it's the University of Scranton has done extensive research, and they find that you can get more antioxidants in your diet from coffee than anything else. And it helps prevent cancer and stroke and Alzheimer's and arteriosclerosis, Parkinson's, you name it. Coffee's the cure. And I've been drinking tons of coffee forever. Oh, wait, this just in from the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. Men who drink 2 to 3 cups of coffee each day are less likely to have erectile dysfunction. It's even good for your boner. Coffee! God's
what
elixir.
What I like for Starbucks coffees, I like the vanilla brust.
Well, there's that too.
Penis.
Right?
Right.
You have to dip your penis in the coffee to make it work.
Is that accurate?
Still, it's worthwhile.
I want to read that report.
It's cheaper than Viagra.
Yeah.
Pour some coffee down your pants on your next date. Impress the ladies.
I had coffee with Macaulay a half an hour ago.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthdays. Politician Al Franken is 64 years old today. Actor Mr. T celebrates his 63rd birthday. Bruce Buffer's 58. Judge Reinhold, also 58. Lisa Edelstein from House is 49 years old. Firuza Balk is 41. And singer Gautier, we've been celebrating his birthday all day. He's 35. Of course, he had that smash hit, Somebody I Used to Know.
Remember how many times this got played?
I do.
Oh! It's all the rage.
Every radio station. Couldn't turn on the radio without hearing this song by Gautier.
Good stuff.
Still got it.
Here's my favorite part.
Here's where the girl comes in.
He hasn't lost a step.
Turn that off way too soon.
That's all I had.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see you two at the Roxy every hour, which means about 10 minutes from now, from 9 to 9, and then we've got your chance again tomorrow morning.